So Genesis chapter 15, beginning at verse 9. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now over, please, to the New Testament, and we're reading from Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Just two verses from the chapter. Hebrews 13, and it's verses 20 and 21 for our New Testament reading. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We all know what it is to sign on the dotted line. You've heard that phrase before, to sign on the dotted line. In other words, to sign a contract. Contracts are a part of everyday life. Whenever you get married, those of you who are married, you signed a contract. Do you remember signing the register? You signed on the dotted line. A contract. A very solemn, serious contract before God that a lot of people don't take seriously today. The marriage contract. May God protect our marriages. May God place the precious blood upon our marriages in these evil, wicked days. Whenever you agree to a mortgage, you're entering into a contract. Of course, nowadays so much is done online, and you can sign a contract online. You know, whenever you tick that little box that says terms and conditions, whether you're entering into a phone contract or you're ordering a passport, or you're signing the form for your driver's license, whatever it is, you're entering into a contract, you got to agree to the terms and conditions, the T's and C's as they're referred to. I signed a contract yesterday morning when I walked into Parks Hire. Whenever I walked into Parks yesterday to hire the carpet cleaner for our tidy up day form, sign there, please, print your name. Contract. Do you know that in Genesis chapter 15, there's a contract? The word contract's not used, it's covenant. But it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. We talk today about a contract, but the Bible talks about a covenant. Identical. Exactly the same thing. The Lord signed a contract or a covenant with Abraham. We've read about it today in Genesis chapter 15, a wonderful chapter that makes it clear that Israel has been given from the Euphrates to the Nile. That's the territory that belongs to them. People today, I know, the liars in the media talk about Israel being the occupiers. They talk about the occupation, the occupying force. You know what's happening in the universities in America? The nonsense and the thugs that are smashing windows and destroying universities. I mean, that in itself should tell you that whatever they're standing for is wrong. Thuggery and vandalism. But of course, that's the left, isn't it? The left destroys everything it touches. You remember that? The left destroys everything it touches. But what a chapter, Genesis 15. Israel's territory, Euphrates in the north, Nile in the south. It's going to be given to them someday. They're going to possess it someday. In spite of the media and all the propaganda that's out there. But Genesis 15 records for us this amazing covenant that the Lord made with Abraham. And it reminds me of the greatest covenant of all. Because the covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis 15 isn't the greatest covenant or contract. Neither is the covenant or the contract that he made with Noah or with David or Moses or any of those Old Testament men. The greatest contract ever signed was signed at a place called Calvary. On Golgotha's brow, almost 2,000 years ago, the greatest contract was made. When our Lord Jesus Christ bled and died for our redemption. And we're going to remember the signing of that contract later on as we take the bread and the wine. He signed it with his blood. Be careful, those of you today who are rejecting the gospel, rejecting Christ. What you're actually doing is trampling on his blood. It's a very serious thing to do. And God will hold you accountable. So be warned. But for those who are trusting in the Savior's blood today, you can rejoice. That's why we come to the communion table with joy. We're not coming to awake today. We're coming to remember one, yes, who died, but who rose again. He's alive. Praise his name. He was delivered for our offenses. But praise God, he was raised for our justification. Because he lives, we're justified. Just as if we'd never sinned in the sight of God. May we can rejoice today on this communion Sunday. But let's get back here to Genesis 15. And if you look there, please, at verse 18. It's a wonderful verse. Genesis 15 and verse 18. If you have your Bible open, look at the verse. Go down to verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. You know that word made? It literally means cut. Cut. The Lord cut a covenant with Abraham. You see, what's happening here in Genesis 15 is an ancient tradition, an ancient custom. In this chapter, You have the ancient blood covenant. Now, perhaps when we read it earlier, you thought this is double Dutch. Maybe you can't really grasp what's happening here, but I want to tell you that Abraham could grasp what was happening here, because this was a custom that Abraham was very familiar with, this ancient blood covenant. In the Hebrew, it's the word berith or bereth, the covenant, a blood covenant. We are saved today through a blood covenant. A blood covenant that was enacted at Calvary. And here we have Abraham, as it were, given a glimpse of Calvary. Calvary foreshadows Genesis 15. The shadow of the cross is over this chapter. The covenant. Didn't we read Hebrews chapter 13 earlier? The blood of the everlasting covenant. My, the Holy Spirit was pointing Abraham forward here and saying, as it were, Abraham, you see, down the line, down the centuries, your son. And that's what he is. Christ is. You know, in Matthew 1, he's called the son of Abraham. You read it when you go home today. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham. Abraham, your son, someday your descendant, your seed. He's going to die on an old rugged cross at Calvary. He's going to shed his blood for you, Abraham. And you see what's about to happen here, Abraham, in Genesis 15. This is like a picture, an object lesson of what's going to happen. The covenant. I want to emphasize, first of all, that Abraham didn't sign this covenant. I want you to understand that. Abraham didn't sign this contract. The Lord signed it for him. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. So what's happening here, just to try to paint the picture and to give you the context, Abraham has taken, he takes a heifer, a goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon, okay? And he sacrifices them. These animals are slaughtered. Just as our Savior was slaughtered in Calvary for our sins. So the slaughter takes place. Maybe you think, well, that's horrible. The blood everywhere, the gore everywhere. It reminds us, and it reminded Abraham, how horrible sin is. I tell you today, folks, Calvary reminds us how horrible and how awful sin is. People laugh at sin today. They joke about sin. Even Christians. But sin is no laughing matter. Because to cover sin, innocent blood had to be shed. So Abraham, he sacrifices the animals. He lays them out in two rows or two lines. So half the animal on this side, half the animal on the other side. And you have this row or this line of animals and the birds. And there's a path in between. But then Abraham falls asleep. Hope no one falls asleep in church today. Don't think you will after the siren earlier. But Abraham falls asleep, and it's not just a natural sleep, it's a deep sleep. The Lord puts Abraham into this deep sleep. One commentator called it a coma. I don't know if it was as you would use that word, but it was a deep sleep. So Abraham can't sign any covenant or contract. The Lord signs it for him. And what happens is that the Lord passed between the animals. The Lord walked the pathway of blood, if you like. The pathway of blood. The Lord did the work himself. Abraham had no part in this covenant, in the signing of this covenant. What was Abraham doing? Sleeping. Fast asleep. Tell me, can you do anything when you're asleep? Not a thing. Tell me, can you do anything to save your soul? Not a thing. Not a thing. So here's the Lord, and it's, if you like, you want to use the terminology, the medical terminology, the Lord just puts Abraham to sleep, gives them the anesthetic, knocks him out. He's fast asleep. And the Lord was saying to Abraham, the Lord was teaching Abraham that as far as salvation is concerned, he has no part in it. It is God's work from start to finish. Do you know, we are living roughly 4,000 years later from Abraham, or at least 3,000. Thousands of years later, we are living, and salvation is still the same way. Salvation is still exactly the same as it was in Abraham's day. It's all of God. It has nothing to do with us. We have no part in it. It is the work of Christ from start to finish. Abraham was a spectator in Genesis 15, a bystander, as this covenant or this contract was signed. When it comes to salvation, we're the same. We're spectators, we're bystanders. What are we looking at? We're looking at the cross. We're standing back. We're admiring the work of the cross, the finished work of the Savior. That's what we'll be doing later as we take the bread and the wine. We have no part in it, Lord. All glory to you because you did the work from start to finish. And we're just like Abraham. You see, what would have happened if Abraham hadn't fallen asleep? And if Abraham had walked through the animals? See, that was the way that they signed the covenant. They didn't take a pen and a piece of paper. They walked through the carcasses, the two people. What would have happened if Abraham had walked with the Lord through the remains? Abraham could have messed up. Or as they say in America, Abraham could have screwed up. But the Lord didn't give Abraham the chance to mess up or to screw up, if you like. And you see, the Lord doesn't give us the chance to mess up or to screw up. The Lord doesn't give us any part in redemption because he knows that we would only mess it up. And that's why whenever people say, oh yes, I'll take Jesus, but I'll trust in my own works as well, in what I do in my daily life. I'll trust in Jesus, yes, but I'll trust in myself too. I'm a respectable Protestant. I'm a respectable churchgoer. I'm an upstanding member of society. I put out my neighbor's bin. I give to charity. I'm a member of this organization or that organization. I'm sorry, it doesn't count when it comes to salvation. It's Jesus plus nothing. You want to be in heaven?
Some people say, oh, I want to be in hell because there's going to be a party in hell. All my friends will be there, so I mean, I want to join them for the party. I want to tell you, there's going to be no party in hell. See, when you get to hell, and I hope you never get to it, by the way, but if you ever do reject the gospel and bypass the cross and you end up there, you know what it'll feel like? It'll feel like you're the only one there. Oh, the loneliness of hell. Do you ever wonder why Christ had to endure the loneliness of Calvary and why he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And could we forget, can any of us forget that Saturday night when Gordon Quinn stood up here and sang, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Do you ever wonder why the Savior had to go through that utter loneliness, abandoned even by his Father in heaven? Do you ever wonder why? So that you would never experience the loneliness of hell, the abandonment of hell. He's a wonderful Savior, isn't he? And he did it all. And we're just like Abraham, we're just the spectators, the bystanders in this great work of redemption. It's amazing, isn't it? And there you have the Lord Jesus. He suffers the agony of the cross. And then he comes like an athlete, as it were. And today, sadly today, I might say, they're having the Belfast Marathon. It's a shame. It's a blot on our little country. I know of one pastor in North Belfast, a very well-known, good, faithful, evangelical minister, Jack McKee. He can't even have a service this morning because of the Belfast Marathon. He had to cancel it. It's a disgrace. But if you like, the Lord Jesus, the greatest athlete of all, and he comes to the finish line at Calvary, and he breasts the tape, as it were, and he cries, it is finished. The covenant has been signed. The contract has been signed in my blood. And all those rascals and scoundrels in new buildings can be saved, including the rascal and the scoundrel in the pulpit. Isn't it a wonderful salvation? What a glorious Savior we have. The Lord Jesus, of course, in the upper room, he referred to the covenant. He referred to the contract. If you would turn for a moment to Matthew 26. As the Savior sits with his disciples in the upper room, Matthew 26 and verse 28. Notice what Christ says in Matthew 26 and verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant or contract. I know it says testament there, but it means exactly the same as a covenant or a contract, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The Lord Jesus signed the contract, the covenant at Calvary. And you didn't sign it, and I didn't sign it. We had no part in it. He signed it for us so that we could be forgiven. This is a unilateral contract. You ever hear that term, that word, unilateral? It just means done by one person. One person did it. Our salvation is a unilateral salvation. We have no part in it, not even 1%. Oh, but can I not do 1% of it? No, you can't. If you want to be forgiven, you want to be in heaven for all eternity, it's 100% Christ, or it's no heaven at all. It's pretty clear, isn't it?
And so this wonderful scene is presented to us in Genesis 15, and we're told that a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passes between the carcasses of the animals, and that's, of course, a symbol of the Lord. The Lord is the smoking furnace. You remember on Mount Sinai, God came down in the smoke. The whole mountain was covered in smoke. Smoke is a symbol in Scripture of the presence of God. The smoke passes through the animals in Genesis 15. God was there. The fire, the burning lamp, that's obviously the fire, speaks of fire. Again, Genesis 19 on Sinai, the whole mountain was on fire. As the Israelites looked at the mountain, it seemed that it was on fire. The presence of God was there. God passes through the animals to sign the contract. Do you know, whenever this ancient blood covenant was signed by two individuals in Bible times, do you know they exchanged robes? Robes? Tell me this, do you have the robe of Christ's righteousness today? Do you have his righteousness upon you? Oh, not your righteousness cobbled together. That's the mistake that the Jews made in Paul's day. And Paul said, they're going about to establish their own righteousness. And then he said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you want to be in heaven, your righteousness will need to be perfect. The only problem is none of us have it. None of us have a perfect righteousness, but that's where the covenant comes in, the everlasting covenant. Christ offers to us his spotless righteousness. We've sung about it already today. Did you think about the words as you sung them? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You need the two. His blood and his righteousness. His now, not yours, his. The robes were exchanged. Do you know at Calvary the robes were exchanged? Do you ever read Matthew 27, verse 28? Listen to it. They stripped him. They stripped him. Stripped the Savior. And it's a symbol. It's a symbol of God the Father taking the perfect righteousness of the Savior and giving it to us. God the Father strips his Son of that righteousness and he hands it to us, those of us who will take it. And you see that old robe that you're still wearing today, if you're in your sins, the Lord's going to take that robe. Let me correct that and say the Lord has already taken that robe and placed it on Christ at Calvary. Your filth, your shame was laid on him. That disgusting robe of your sins. You know the sins that you have committed, that I have committed, that we wouldn't like to be put up on this projector today, on this screen at the front today. So-and-so did that or said this. We wouldn't like it to be up there today. I certainly wouldn't. It was all laid on him at Calvary. So don't you listen to the devil when he accuses you and says, you couldn't be a Christian after what you've done after this past week. Tell me, have you had a hard week? Believer, do you have a difficult week? Do you let the Lord down? Take heart today. Your failures have all been dealt with at the cross. In this glorious everlasting covenant, this wonderful contract that was signed at Calvary in the blood of God's Son, you've no part in it. So surely you didn't think this past week, oh, I've let the Lord down, I couldn't be saved now. So that doesn't make sense. Sure, it's nothing to do with you. It's nothing to do with you, this wonderful covenant, this wonderful salvation. It's all to do with him.
to do with Christ, the one at God's right hand. He never failed. Some of you don't like this message today because your pride is being humbled. Because you thought, oh, well, I is it not a wee bit to do with me? Can I not have a wee part? You know, yes, well, the Lord saves me by grace, but do I not sort of have to perform each day to keep my salvation? Yeah, no. No. What more can I say? How can I make it any more simple? But yeah, some of your pride's been just it's like I'm sort of sticking a pin in your pride now, and you don't like it. I know you're getting your hackles up. Some of you, you're not right with God. I pray that the Lord will puncture every and remove every ounce of pride, so that you'll come as a hell-deserving, undeserving sinner to the foot of the cross. And then, of course, it was the custom whenever one of these ancient blood covenants were signed in Bible times, it was a custom for the two parties, wait for it, to have a meal together. A meal. And Abraham had his meal with the Lord in Genesis 18. We haven't read it today, but you go home and you read Genesis 18 this afternoon. And the Lord comes with the two angels and they have a meal with Abraham to seal the covenant. Thank God we can come today and have a meal to seal our covenant with Christ. It's called the communion table. The bread and the wine. And we come today, and every time we have communion, every time we have the Lord's Supper, we are partaking of a covenant meal. And you know how it is whenever you go into a restaurant for a meal? You know, you remember what the waiter or the waitress says to you when they bring your food? What's the word before they leave your table? Enjoy! Set your food down. Enjoy. Enjoy the covenant meal today, those of you who are saved. Enjoy it. Don't come to the table today, as I've said earlier, as if this is a wake or a funeral. Well, this is wonderful. Come and enjoy it today. Enjoy what you have in Christ. Don't let the devil or his demons steal your joy away. Remember what we read earlier in Genesis 15 about the birds coming down on the animals? Abraham had to shoo them away. You know, that's like the devil. He comes down like the birds of prey. He comes to steal away our joy and our peace. But thank God we have a finished work to rejoice in today. As the hymn writer said, a debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing, nor fear with God's righteousness on, my person and offering to bring, the terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view.